The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, dear listeners, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And it's the 14th of November, 2025. We are progressing toward the end of November and eventually, definitely, toward the end of the year. And yeah, like we always do, particularly from this hour of 6 until 8, we look at global affairs, we look at continental affairs, and we also look at what is happening in our country, particularly when it comes to the issue of bread and butter. We look at policy making, policy planning, and most importantly, policy implementation and the output of the spoken word, particularly from the political front and also from the front of the private sector, because what is necessary, what is needed at this point in time, particularly in the context of Namibia, is how we are implementing policies, how we are changing lives of the people on the ground, and also how we, you know, we make sure that we do what we always speak about and make sure that Namibia become, you know, the greatest country that we have been always dreaming and planning about. Yeah, looking at before we go to global affairs and continental affairs, always very important, especially this morning, that, you know, we thank you. The fact that you're tuning into Eagle FM Namibia, the fact that you contribute either in terms of opinion, views, contributing in terms of ideas and commenting, that is always what we want and what we enjoy more, because the aim is only one, to make sure that when it comes to talk, programs, when it comes to conversation, those who are listening will be able to come with, you know, a shifted mind, a mind which is affected by positivity and also action-oriented, mind, because at the end of the day, we must make sure that when it's coming to human development, when it's coming to politics, not only politics of politicking, but, politics of, practicality and also, changing of lives. So, wake up with a positive mind and make sure that every day that you are awake is an opportunity that is not afforded to everybody. That's why also make sure that you get your things in order. And like I'm always saying, before December, most of the Champions League, most of games, most of the victories, most of, you know, the winning jabs or the winning uppercuts are being thrown or are being given at extra time. That's why you don't need to blame yourself if you don't achieve 80% of what you wanted to achieve in 2025, because there is still an extra time of December. You can still do one or two things. That's why most of the top goal scorers and most of the heroes are defined by the way they fight until the last minute. But that is a motivation for today, because positivity matters, and also looking of critical self-assessment to see what different method should I use today. Why did I fail yesterday? Why did I perform poorly yesterday? And what is that I need to do to make sure that I become the best version of myself? Because when you look at Namibia, when you look at the country's people, when you speak about things are not working, that is people. When you speak about things are working well, that is people. And you are just part of the bigger population that is striving toward national development and indeed to become the best as we can be. So yeah, before we go to the main conversation for today, it's always very important to look at what is happening, particularly when it comes to issues of global affairs, what is happening in the continent of Africa, and indeed to look at what are some of the changes and development, and also to see at what angle are we going to take our conversation, and importantly, Let us not just be the consumers of news, but let us be the consumer, analyst, interpreters, and most importantly, what should I learn from the conversation? What should I learn from the news? Either it's a good news or a bad news. There is always a lesson to learn. There is always a lesson that people need to learn, especially when it comes to issues of development. And among other news that we need to look at is South Sudan. We spoke about South Sudan because there are quite development in South Sudan. It was stated that the president of South Sudan, that is Salva Kiir, has fired one of his five vice presidents due to battles of succession. You need to be able to understand that when you speak about South Sudan, it's a country which got independence from the main Sudan, that is around 2011 there, and it's one of the countries which 80% of its GDP depends on oil, and these are some of the countries in Africa which have also suffered war for quite some time. So either it's a war within, war with neighbors, and also internal conflict, and also when you look at humanitarian crisis, these are some of the countries which, when it comes to challenges of social affairs, is not new things. But in changing of cuts seems like there is a battles of succession in South Sudan. But what is stated there is that the president has fired Benjamin Boll Meyer, who is one of his vice presidents, because South Sudan has five presidents as we speak, based on changes in its constitution. And at the same time, the president of South Sudan, that is Salva Kiir, has also fired the central bank, the governor of central bank, and also the head of South Sudan Revenue Agency. That is it's a number of South Sudan, if you put it that way, or is Revenue Authority of South Sudan, if you put it on that aspect. And when you look at that context, you can also be able also to look at what is the structure of governance, what is the background of South Sudan, and also what can we learn from here. But before we go to that news, it's also important to look at the issue of succession. The issue of succession in Africa is quite a very interesting thing, particularly when you look at presidency, vice presidency, and those who want to take over after the head has gone. But when you look at, for example, in Southern Africa, Namibia is the only good example that we don't really have battles of the head and the vice. But when you look at other countries, when you look, for example, in Zimbabwe, at one point, and as it is now, there is always two vice presidents, and it seems like a strategy of, not really putting more focus on fighting or overtaking that who is in charge, but the battle between two vice presidents. That's why when you look at the current president of Zimbabwe, Emmerson Mnangagwa, was one of the vice presidents within Zimbabwe. And when you look at, you can also ask yourself this question, and it's not a direct opinion, but when you have two deputy CEOs, it's for example, even if it's for work related, it indirectly put a contest in that aspect. But let us look at this.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Yeah, when you have two horse race, it's quite very interesting. And when you look at the vice presidency, even in South Africa, when you look at what has been happening, when you look at the history of South African politics, this your Jacob Zuma, deputy president at that time, and also Thabo Mbeki, so it's better. You can also look at many other examples, but the interesting part is how is this affect particularly the people of Sudan, and what the lesson Namibia should learn from this, and also what is the interpretation of political development in that aspect. And remember, among those vice presidents in South Sudan, there's also a woman by the name Rebecca, Rebecca Nyadeh De Mabio, who is one of the vice presidents in South Sudan. But let us look at this news. Let us look at this news and also move forward. And also ask yourself to say, what is really happening? Are you focusing on maintaining political structure and power? Or are you focusing on the greater good of all Africans? And also, it's practically impossible to. We may speak about politics, we may speak about behaviors and practice of politicians, but throughout life, that has been leadership, governance has been the way of life. But how can we reshape? How can we reform? How can we advance? How can we make sure that when it comes to governance, things are proper, things are correct, and things are going according to the plan, particularly on the result of, the result of a well-structured governing structure and a functioning system of governance in Africa.
South Sudan's President Salva Kiir has sacked one of his five vice presidents in a series of firings that come amid escalating internal conflict. Benjamin Bulmel was appointed in February and had been widely rumored to be Kiir's preferred successor. The powerful vice president was also stripped of his position as deputy leader of the ruling Sudan People's Liberation Movement Party and demoted from general to private in the National Security Service. No reason was given and no successor has been named. President Kiir also fired the governor of the central bank and the head of the revenue authority, both seen as close to Bulmel. These latest changes in the upper ranks of South Sudan's government come at a time when questions are being asked about Kiir's succession amid fears of a return to civil war. Planned elections have been postponed twice, and Kiir's main rival during the civil war, first Vice President Riek Machar, was arrested in March and then charged with treason. Fighting between forces loyal to Kiir and various armed groups has escalated in recent months. South Sudan is one of few countries to have five vice presidents, a structure established under a 2018 peace agreement.
Yeah, that is the politics on the other side of South Sudan, especially when it comes to the governance structure. You can also be able to realize that the first vice president again has been arrested. That is beforehand, but it's quite news to look into, and also news also to look into, not only to observe, because one of the things that we need to look at is that it's our perspectives based on context that we see, to say when you see something, especially as Africans, consumers of news, when you see something, the first question you need to ask yourself is that, what is the meaning of this? What can you learn from this? What lesson can you learn when other people are going down everywhere? Because with these things, when somebody is, for example, something happened to somebody that of high position, what can we learn? What do we need to do in you? And also, what the leadership lesson can we also learn from this? But yeah, that is that side of politics of South Sudan. Let us look at the richest man in Africa. That is, of course, Aliko Dangote. stated that Record Dangote these days is in Southern Africa, particularly in Zimbabwe, and he does not come for speeches. He does not come to communicate speeches. When a businessman such as Record Dangote come to your country, he's here, or he's in Southern Africa, to make deals, but practical deals. He has been known as one of African son of the soil, who is very practical, building one of the biggest refinery in Africa, and supplying oil not only in Africa but also in the United States, and has been known to be very practical. But it was stated that big in Zimbabwe, in these days, Dangote signed a deal with Zimbabwe to build 2,000 kilometer long pipeline from Namibia, and is the move set to reshape Southern Africa industrial landscape. And I stated that Nigerian billionaire struck a landmark deal of 1 billion investment deal with Zimbabwe, and the project include fertilizer plant of 2,000 kilometer long pipeline from Namibia, Walvis Bay, through Botswana to Zimbabwe, second largest city, that is Bulawayo. And you know, it's also something that also we need to question, and also be also asking ourselves, also to say, why through Namibia? You need to understand that you are a strategic hub. Namibia is a strategic hub, particularly when it's coming to Walvis Bay seaport, and also Rudaritz seaport. But the question is that when landlocked countries are using Namibia as a strategic hub to pursue their investment and their trade interest, are we really, as Namibian, utilizing? Do we know the benefit? Are we expanding that too, to make sure that that is also what and how we can benefit from? And remember, Dangote was not only in Zimbabwe, or is not only in Zimbabwe, but at one point he was also in Namibia, where he showed interest in assisting Namibia and also expanding oil deal and or oil businesses in Namibia, because he's not only an expert, but he's an industrialist when it comes to building of businesses. Because when you need to look at is that Africa, we don't only need, or we do not need international investment in terms of donors, in terms of assisting with our operation, but we need to build industries. And also asking yourself, how many of Namibians, how many of Southern African people are building industries? But let us look at this news and look at the conversation.
In a move set to reshape Southern Africa's industrial landscape, Nigerian billionaire Aliko Dangote has struck a landmark billion-dollar investment deal with Zimbabwe. The project includes a fertilizer plant and 2,000-kilometer-long pipeline from Namibia's Walvis Bay to Zimbabwe's second-largest city, Bulawayo. Dangote was in Harare on Wednesday to sign a memorandum of understanding with President Emmerson Mnangagwa.
We have the largest refinery in the world, single lane, in Nigeria, and we want to bring it to Walvis Bay and then pipe down here. So there are a couple of other investments which we're looking at.
A spokesperson for the president said the project could change Zimbabwe's production structure, with fuel cheaper to import. It also underscores growing investor confidence in Mnangagwa's economic reform agenda and brings the powerful West African conglomerate, headed by Africa's richest man, deeper into the southern region.
Broader investment really is in hundreds of millions of dollars, maybe even up to a billion. But, you know, we will tell you the amount as we go along. But really, it will be over a billion because of the pipeline.
The agreement paves the way for major projects across energy, cement and fertilizer production, and infrastructure development. Dangote is already planning a major fuel storage facility in Walvis Bay, cutting Southern Africa's dependence on fuel imports from Europe and Asia.
Yeah, from a developmental point of view, Dangote should live long because he's building what they see now. He's not speaking about 2063. He's doing it now. He's practically implementing. He's an independent, or he's an industrialist. He's a businessman who is practical. And as he stated, or as I have indicated, Dangote is already planning a major fuel storage facility in Walvis Bay. And cutting Southern African dependency on fuel import from Europe and Asia. And that is, we speak about the Gulf. Why do you have to continue importing oil if you have oil in your neighboring country, such as, you know, Angola? If you have oil in Nigeria, why can't we do with our own? Why can't we cut cost? And why can't we implement, particularly at that level? It's quite a very important development, particularly when it comes to Southern Africa. And the question that we're asking ourselves is that, is this businessman, or is this African-driven initiative supported well, especially by locals, by domestic people, either in Zimbabwe, Namibia, and also the whole Southern Africa? Because we have a tendency of not liking change. We have a tendency of not liking change, particularly when it's coming to development, especially when the middleman is not benefiting. And what challenges? Who is going to be threatened? Because you need to ask yourself this question to say, who is going to be threatened by development in Southern Africa? Who is going to be threatened by independence of Africa in terms of self-sustaining, either is an energy sector, either is the sector of oil and gas. And Namibia, we are at a very critical and important juncture, especially if we jump into that wagon of positive development, that wagon of change, and that wagon of development. And how many of our young business people, how many of our bigger business people are also interested in expanding that? And remember, when a pipeline of that magnitude is built, talk about 2,000, speak about 2,000, kilometers passing through Namibia, and also we speak about the investment of $1 billion US dollars in that deal, and how many jobs are going to be created, and how can also Namibia benefit from that sector? Because at the end of the day, local people also have to take part in that construction, and also to see what is the impact of that when it's coming to our trade. Because connecting that pipeline is also a direct strategic investment in Namibian development. And the question has always been at the center to say, when finance is circulating within the country, where does it go? When finance is moving around Namibia, where does it go? Is finance really, coming to the downtrodden and ordinary people on the ground? That is one of the things that we need to look at, and also analyze, particularly when it's coming to either its fertilizer, oil and gas, and also the energy sector in general, particularly when you speak about electricity. And somebody coming from Nigeria to Southern Africa, where are our business people? Are they empowered? Are they given an opportunity? Don't we have industrialists in Southern Africa? If not, do we have those who are trying to get into that sector? How can we build? How can we motivate and also have one, especially when it comes to issues of development and also issues of building of industry? Yeah, while we are there, it's also quite important, before we go to to the conversation for today, to look at moves, particularly when it's coming to International Court of Justice, especially the election of Professor Phoeb Okoa from Kenya to serve in the International Court of Justice, and one of international institution, particularly that has to deal with international cases, international, either is issues of international laws, either is issues of justice when it comes to issues of what it have been or what happened among countries, and having a position at an international court of justice is one of victory to Africa, and one of aspect that allow Africa to be included when it's coming to international jurisprudence, and also when it's coming to decision at international level, and also to be part of the main legal interpretation, particularly when it's coming to international affairs. So let us look at a short commercial break, then we can look at this news, especially in context of international court of justice, and also deployment of candidates from Africa.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of
us. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the only person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are progressing positively, at an understandable pace. It's 34 minutes past the hour of 6, and you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. We are looking at global and continental affairs, particularly when it comes to issues of development, politics and governance. And let us look at the elections of the candidate from Kenya, especially to be part of International Court of Justice. Let us look at this news before we look at African, soldiers or African, former African soldiers serving in the war or fighting in the war between Russia and Ukraine. Before you look at that aspect, to say when you are told to say come and work, there are those who are being lured. Say, come and work online. Oh, you are being taught online to say there's a job in certain country. There's a job in the Middle East. There's a job in Canada. And you end up finding yourself being recruited and engaging in fierce battles, particularly in that side of Ukraine and Russia. But that is the following news. But let us look at UN elect, Poembe Okoa of Kenya to International Court of Justice. And look at this news and move forward.
Kenya's Phoebe Okoa was elected to the International Court of Justice on Thursday. She secured 106 votes in the General Assembly and 8 votes in the Security Council, defeating opponents from Sierra Leone and Nigeria after a closely contested election.
As a result of the independent voting in the Assembly and the Council, Phoebe Okoa of Kenya has obtained an absolute majority in both organs. Phoebe Okoa of Kenya is therefore duly elected a member of the International Court of Justice to serve for a term of office commencing today, 12 November 2025, and ending on February 5th, 2027.
Phoebe Okoa takes over the seat previously held by Judge Abdul Kawi Yusuf, who resigned in September. She will serve on the International Court of Justice until February 2027.
Yeah, that is the daughter of Africa making waves there. This is the daughter of Africa making waves there. Because if you are a law student, if you are a lawyer, do not only think about Namibia, you can also represent Namibia at the highest, the highest level. You can also represent Africa at the highest level. But Namibia is also a record. Also a record of international known personalities, such as Advocate B.S. Kawanas, who at one point was special advisor, for Africa, special advisor to the United Nations, Secretary General. It may be other well-known diplomat who serve at an international level. If you look at, for example, the late Theo Ben-Gurirab, at one point he was the president of United Nations General Assembly, and also many other or few other prominent people who also serve not only Namibia, not only Southern Africa, but also Africa in general at an international fora. That's why, for example, if you want to think big, you can be an ordinary teacher, but if you think about leadership at the UNESCO level, you can still do it at that level. Or when you are a nurse, for example, or you are an assistant nurse, or you are a student nurse, you can think about World Health Organization. There is nothing that can limit you to be one of, to be a director general of World Health Organization. Or even if you are an economist. When you look at, for example, World Trade Organization, those who are leading or are the head of World Trade Organization is an African. That also show the capacity. Look at Madame Okonjo-Iweala. You'll be able to see that Africans are not only making it at home, but they are also making it at an international platform. But the question has always been to say, you have African intellectuals who are respected so much, can also serve an international platform. Why can't we use our intellectual capacities as Africans to develop our countries? Why can't we do that? Why can't we use our intellectual capacity? Because this can also tell you that intelligence is not a problem. The ability of somebody to interpret complicated issues, innovate, serve, and follow a complicated system that serve not only Africans, not only continents, but the whole world. But the question is always that if we are so intelligent enough, why can't we solve our problems at home? Why Africa is still, drowning in debts? Why governance is fluctuating? Why protests everywhere? Why, Africa is more focused on dealing with problems than industrialize itself? And those are the questions that everybody should ask himself or herself, particularly when it comes to issues of African development and also issues which need critical assessment, especially when we speak about development, and also when you speak about what we need to do for our continent. Because, you know, if you can do it, internationally, you can also, or it's guaranteed that you can do it at home. Is it the system? Is it, you know, somebody who does not want you to do it? Or what is the problem? So let us look at, the issue of, Kenyan former soldiers among the citizens who are fighting war in Ukraine. And it's not only Kenya. South Africa was also complaining, especially some of the mercenaries or some of the fighting for money people who have been identified to fight in the side of Russia against Ukraine. And this can also bring some of, global tensions, particularly when it's coming to war at the international level, especially the war that have divided the world from, since the Cold War, the war that divided the world west and the eastern part. And when you look at that, it stated that Kenyan Foreign Affairs Minister said on Wednesday that the former soldiers are among over 200 Kenyans believed to be fighting for Russia in war in Ukraine. Because remember, when things are going down, when things are going down in Ukraine, also Africans are there. So, so a matter of question to say, were they authorized? How did they get there? And what are some of the development happening there? And the Minister of Foreign Affairs agent urged Kenyans to exercise caution, saying recruitment agencies were still actively working to lure more citizens into conflict and force ground. Because when somebody said, maybe from LinkedIn, looking at your qualification and your experience, you say, no, you can be a very good economist here in the Middle East, for example, in UK. We are paying for your ticket and all these things. When you enter there, it's a military camp. It's a do or die. They give you an AK-47 assault rifle and also some of the promise, particularly when it comes to finance and money, to say when you complete this contract, you're going to get this amount of money. But in the dangerous zone like Ukraine, the possibility of survival, especially from coming from Africa, it's quite not guaranteed, because there, people are not fighting the bush war. People are fighting with drones, highly sophisticated missiles, guided missiles, and the high chance that when you enter those zones, you will not come out in one piece. If you come out in one piece, you will not be functional. If you are functional, you are going to be one of the lucky people. So, and the ministry so stated that the embassy in Moscow has recorded injuries among some of the recruits who allegedly promised up to $18,000 cover of cost for visas, travel, and accommodation. Because taking risk, accepting a ticket to somebody that you have never met, you find yourself in a zone that you even do not know how to get home, and you also have to pay back for these things. Because when you get there to pay back, somebody should not just somebody is not just going to waste his money. And those unknown contract that you are unintentionally signing for. Because if somebody use $18,000, if you put it in Namibian dollar and you find yourself in a zone that you are not going to come out, you will be forced to fulfill that not signed for contract, especially when it's coming to war and also fighting in the dangerous zone. So let us look at this news before we look at Nigeria and also fuel. Then we can look at Namibia, because the conversation for today, we are going to look at how should we develop an action-oriented nation? How should we develop an action-oriented nation? How should we limit on discussions? How should we allow the speakers, such as radio presenter, to speak? Why others who have capacity to implement? Because what we see particularly in Africa, in Namibia too, we have many panel discussions, we have many diagonistic conversations about problems, and we point to few to no projects. We have a lot of planning and a lot of documents, and also issues of saying, no, we have appointed this committee to study for how long we have been studying our problem. But that is what we are going to do, especially when it's coming to the conversation, particularly from 7 there. That is what we are going to do. And it's also up to you also to develop your questions and also develop your contribution to say, how can we develop action-oriented nation? How can we limit in a lot of public and engagement? And we also need to ask ourselves, when we speak about public engagement, there is a cost of public engagement. How much is Namibia, if you can look at the tracking of records, how much Namibia spent on conferences on development, conferences on analyzing of issues, rather than real projects? So, for now, let us look at that news from Kenya, particularly when soldiers or former soldiers are recruited to fight in Russia. Is it within their will, or are they lured into that action? Because sometimes you also need to look at what are some of the pushing factors? What are some of the pushing factors of Africans finding themselves in that? Is desperation or looking for opportunities? Because when you look at millions of people dying in the Mediterranean seas, in dangerous zones, people are dying in the desert trying to move away from Africa, particularly looking for jobs and security in either Europe or the Middle East. Why are African sons and daughters are leaving their country? Why are they doing so? What do we need to do to stop that movement of what is known as illegal immigrants? So, but for now, let us look at that news of Kenya and move forward.
Equivalent to a death sentence. Kenya's Foreign Affairs Minister says former soldiers are among the over 200 Kenyans believed to be fighting for Russia in its war in Ukraine. Musalia Mudavadi has urged people to exercise caution, saying recruitment agencies are still actively working to lure more Kenyans into the conflict on false grounds. The ministry says Kenya's embassy in Moscow has recorded injuries among some of the recruits who were allegedly promised up to $18,000 to cover costs for visas, travel and accommodation. Ukraine last week said that more than 1,400 citizens from 36 African countries are fighting alongside Russian forces in Ukraine. Some, it says, have been recruited through fake job offers, which it described as equivalent to a death sentence. Kenya's President William Ruto spoke by phone to his Ukrainian counterpart Volodymyr Zelensky last week, requesting the release of Kenyans detained in the conflict zone. And earlier this month, South Africa said it was trying to secure the repatriation of 17 of its citizens from Ukraine. It said they'd been persuaded to become mercenaries with promises of high salaries and were left stranded on the battlefield in Ukraine's Donbass region.
Yeah, that is what is happening. That is what's happening. And who knows if the recruitment is not only targeting Kenyans and South Africans. Who knows? And they also need to check up on your cousin who, maybe got an offer from Europe or somewhere, but you did not hear from him or her. Because you end up seeing them on news. End up seeing them, on news. Or you end up, hearing what is not a good news, because the foreign minister of Kenya is saying that offer of $18,000, particularly in the conflict zone, is equivalent to death sentence. Saying it's equivalent to death sentence because if an African never fought a war of drones, how are you going to survive in a guided missiles zone, how are we going to survive in that sector, and also why you become a mercenary where you can do something in your own country. Is it the environment which is not conducive? Is it increment in poverty? Is it inability of those who are given power to exercise the power of the state, either to distribute resources or either to create employment and opportunities, not doing their job? What is the cause of that? And also, what are some of the challenges, particularly regarding that? So, before we go to the conversation for today, let us look at what Nigeria has done. You know, when we were looking at global economic outlook, the economic outlook of Southern Africa, which indicated positive slight development in terms of economic expansion in Africa, we are not really speaking about Southern Africa, but countries such as Nigeria, countries such as Cote d'Ivoire, who have shown positive, sign of development in that sector. Zimbabwe too. But, one of the things that Nigeria has done is that they scrapped planned of 15% import duties on petrol and diesel. They are no more, putting on, 15%, import duty on petrol and diesel, particularly what they have planned due to the aspect of relieving, the citizens, especially during this festive season. And it's quite a positive development. Stated that Nigeria has dropped the plan to introduce 15% import duty on petrol and diesel. The Nigerian Midstream and Downstream Petroleum Regulatory Authority announced on Thursday, citing assurance of adequate fuel supply through the holiday season. In that aspect, that should really look at this news before we go to the conversation for today. And also to look at our Miss Namibia. Are we giving Miss Namibia enough support, especially when it comes to, it's coming to the contestation of Miss Universe there in Thailand? It's coming to Miss Universe in Thailand. And what do we need to do to make sure that we support our own citizens who are representing us at that aspect? And don't forget that today we also have like we always do with the Villager newspaper. So we have the Villager newspaper, and we are going to go through that aspect. So let us look at this plan for Nigeria before we come to Miss Namibia, that is Johanna Swartboy, and also look at what Namibian can do to support our national pride. Because if Braverius is not playing at home, who is there representing us? There is always somebody representing us, either is in sport or either in the creative industry. But are we united in supporting who is of our own, or we are just there looking? But that is something that we need to look at.
Let's move straight to our next conversation. Once again, the administration of President Bola Tinubu has demonstrated that it is a government that listens.
It makes no sense for government to do it. It makes absolutely no sense.
We head to Nigeria, where it appears the government has approved.
Yeah, looking at that aspect, let us look at what President Tinubu has to say. This President Bola Tinubu has to say, especially after, when he suspended the plane import on duty, especially imports on
Mentor. Thank you so much for joining us.
And so.
Femi Onokoren, can you confirm you can hear me, please? Like this policy is gone for good.
I think it's important to really isolate what the issues are here so that we can understand the mind of the federal government, especially in terms of fiscal policy management. So the proposed import tax tariff, it's actually not a it's not supposed to be a big issue for the country, because it's actually a popular position that most economies have. There's import tax and PMS across the world. But part of the issues that we have are a couple of pertinent positions. Number one, the adequacy of local supply to meet up with the demand that we have. If that shortfall is there and importers can lean on the tariff as an issue, there will risk a rise in the cost of fuel, which of course translates to higher inflation and all such. At the same time, we're moving towards a period in our national history that every cycle, every year, November, December, January is actually heavy period in terms of consumption, especially PMS. And periodically in the past, we've had exposures to long lines of queues and forced scarcity and hoarding. I think also that the federal government is quite cognizant of this, and they are taking a proactive step towards ensuring that that does not happen during this period. The country has achieved some relative stability on several fronts, and anything that would upset the cut should be diligently monitored and curtailed before it goes out of bounds. So I think that's...
Let us look at Namibia. Let's look at Namibia. Our Miss Namibia, that is Johanna Swartboy. Johanna Swartboy is representing Namibia at the 74 Miss Universe 2025 in Bakong, Thailand. And when you look online, it's one of energetic lady. And it's also showing some, positive, look, especially when it's coming to her energy, the way she's competing and representing Namibia at the different activities which they are given. It's like it's a lady to watch, but it's also a question of asking our Namibians to say, what is our national pride when at that point that, we need to make sure that when it's coming to supporting what is on our own, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Are we supporting our own creative industry? Are we supporting that who is representing us? And or are we putting her down? Do we get the time to look on what is happening? Even a text on Facebook, even a comment, even positive wishes, because that is Namibia being represented. That is our ambassador there. And we also need more of Namibian ladies to partake in such aspect, although not only Miss Universe, but also to represent Namibia in that aspect. What is very interesting about our lady, it's not only just an ordinary model, but it's also somebody who is qualified, somebody who went to school and also qualified at an academic level. Particularly when you look at qualification on business, marketing, and also known to be a champion of creative industry with unique pride and also success. And also maybe the question of asking also, and also questions that where are our other heroes? Do we only support our Namibian heroes, our Namibian representative when they are doing very well? You can ask a question to say, where are our bombers and Masiringi? When they start underperforming, have the Ministry of Sport tried to look for these people and ask what help and assistance do they need? Or we only support them when they are doing very well. And when are they going to come back to the scene again and also represent us? Because those are some of the things which are uniting us. Because, when Brave Radios is no more playing at home, there must be something that we need to look at. There must be something that... we really need to look at, especially when it comes to what we need to do and also support. Let us look at IMBA and look at the conversation.
Großartige Neuigkeiten. IMBA ist jetzt noch besser geworden. Wir haben ganz neue Funktionen hinzugefügt, um dein Erlebnis noch reibungsloser, schneller und leistungsstärker zu machen als je zuvor. Bereit, das volle Potenzial von IMBA freizuschalten? Erhalte alle exklusiven Funktionen für nur 36 Namibia-Dollar pro Monat oder spare noch mehr mit unserem speziellen Abonnement-Plänen. 5% Rabatt bei einem 3-Monats-Abonnement, 10% Rabatt bei einem 6-Monats-Abonnement oder 25% Rabatt bei einem 12-Monats-Abonnement. Wähle den Plan, der am besten zu dir passt und genieße alles, was Imba zu bieten hat, zu einem unschlagbaren Preis. Imba, where the world congregates. Lade es herunter und abonniere noch heute.
It's the time of year for festive savings at ShopRite. Discover merry deals and get big savings on all your holiday essentials. Shop and save on products like 500 grams Rama Original 70% fat spread for only $26.99 and 750 mils Right Brand Sunflower Seed Oil for just $27.99. Give more this Christmas with ShopRite's unbeatable prices, making your holidays extra special. Offers valid until 23 November 2025. Catch Ready, Steady, Cook on One Africa. Proudly brought to you by ShopRite Namibia.
Yeah, it's 1 minute past the hour of 7, and we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. We are there at Miss Namibia, representing us at in Thailand, and the question of how we support our talent. You must be able to remember that Namibians is full of talent, and also unique qualities that is not only competitive when it comes to national level, but in the region and also in the entire world. But the question is that are these people supported? Because with little opportunities that few Namibian champions get, they always prove to be, competitive. Because, for example, when Lady May went to Big Brother Africa, and she was the one who paved the way for other Namibians also to be shining out there. When she was playing soccer with wearing heels, that was never seen in the history of Big Brother. And she was quite a very good representative, but paved the way, because most of you who don't follow, you look at from unknown and not well known beforehand, when Delish Matthew won Big Brother Africa, it was the pride of Namibia, and everybody was very happy. But how many of talents do we have in Namibia that are still there, not supported, that are still there? How many unpolished diamonds which are still there, not supported? And what can we do to make sure that talent does not die with Namibians, but should be polished and presented out there? Just give somebody an opportunity to show himself or herself. People will prove will prove themselves, and they will also bring foreign currency in the country, and also representation to say, when people are speaking about Namibia, where is this lady from? Because I remember during COVID-19 when Christine Boma shocked the world, everybody was asking, where is this lady coming from? She was overtaking people like nobody's business. That time she was not even 21. She was not even 20 years. But she was competing with champions. And the question that we need to ask, how many out there who are not getting opportunities, and what do we need to do to identify those talents? So let us look at the commercial break. Then we can look at the conversation for today. However, you can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle staff. FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye. The eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward. 6 minutes past the hour of seven. We are here until the hour of 8 before we give the mic to Bing Mike to unpack the day. And the conversation for today, we are going to look at questions that have been going around for quite some time, and also maybe to have a discussion regarding what is that we need to do to make sure that we develop an action oriented, society. How should we develop an action oriented nation? How should we speak less than we do more? And, how should we track our progress? Because, the students of development will be able to indicate to you that, most of the result oriented leaders, most of countries which made it through stages of development, they focused more on projects, sustainable projects. They are not focusing more on discussing about the problem. Because you have already analyzed the problem identifier. You have already researchers. You have academicians. When you have a certain problem, when you have a certain social problem, go to it head on. And also maybe it's also the high time that we should ask ourselves to say, as a nation who is striving toward a common goal of development and also having an industrialized Namibia, what are we going to do to make sure that when it's coming to developmental affairs, we don't jump in all projects. We don't do everything. We don't start everything, then we end up not doing anything. We don't do things for publicity, but we do things for the greater good of the Namibian people. Because it's a high time now, we have to analyze and discuss these issues to say, what is an action-oriented society? What is a project-driven nation? What is the relationship between a practical leader and somebody who makes sure that the speech is well-fined, well-constructed, and the public is so cheered? Do you know that when it comes to the political rallies, when it's coming to public engagement, that is the only time that most of the African citizens are very happy, are so engaged, and they are fulfilled with promise and future across the sector? But when you take it the other way, there is more industries. Leaders, they spend more time on the ground, boots on the ground. They don't spend more time on suits, because suits never build anything. I'm not building an industry wearing a suit, but I'm building an industry on the ground. So, and the question is also that, it's not really to say, to change the whole politics of Africa and the way we do things. I used to compare other countries, when either is, their governors, their, you know, councillors, their ministers or secretaries, the way they do, the way they approach public engagement. Go and, for example, look at, compare the inauguration, for example, of any other African president with the inauguration of a president of either is Russia, either is US, either is a prime minister in UK, either is in China. Protocols matters, but we spend more time in recognizing people. We spend more time in discussing about the problem, and we spend more time in panel discussions. And I'm seeing this as a trend, especially with youth with opportunities to say, there's a panel discussion about this thing. But when you're asking yourself a question, is that how many of real projects? Let me ask now my fellow young people, especially those who got opportunities of leadership, opportunities of influence. Yes, there are those who are project boots on the ground, but how many of panel discussions really brought the results? Is it not the high time that we speak about real issues and do more than we speak? Because when you look around Namibia, when you travel, you see, in terms of development, you look at a certain town dilapidated, things are not moving, but there is a lot of discussions, there is a lot of event management being organized, and you know, people are coming together and discussing about issues of the economy, discussing about mental issue. Why can't you discuss about coming up with a clinic? If you discuss about how you deal with issue, why can't you discuss about coming up with, why can't you start initiatives that keep these people busy? To say the problem that we have here is not that people are not mentally okay, they are violent and all those things. The fact is that people are bored, people are frustrated, people are not doing anything. Why can't we look at recreational centers? Why can't we look at sport facilities? Why can't we look at, for example, libraries or research centers, incubation centers, and all those things that need to keep these people busy? Instead of law, we have an expert. Yes, it's good to discuss, but over discussion and over planning, there is this aspect of paralysis by analysis. You focus more on planning, then you end up not doing anything. The speaking must be for us to communicate to you information. And those who are supposed to be project or boots on the ground must do boots on the ground. Now, while we are there, looking at, for example, one of the things that we have struggled with, especially Africa, Namibia too, is, you know, the issue of balancing the two masters. You know, one of my callers likes saying, let us move to the east, which I agree, but I completely not agree with everything that they stated. They said, no, the east is the only way. But you know, when you look at, for example, communism, whatever the ideology, however you interpret the ideology, communism and socialism, communism, pure socialism, did not do well. Capitalism too did not do well for the most. What we need is real balanced or a guided capitalism, to say. When you speak about mixed economy, it's a guided capitalism to say we must balance free market with protectionism, and we must make sure that we accommodate the two. We can't leave US over China.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Yes, you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. Today we are speaking about action-oriented society, action-oriented nation. I'm saying you cannot leave US over China, and you cannot leave China over US. We must treat everybody as equal partners. But the one thing that we also need to look at is that we must look at what is Namibia interest. What is Namibia in interest? And what projects are being funded? Are the projects which are being funded by any of our trading partners to continue for us to continue depending on ourselves if our journey is to be self-sustaining? Why can't we speak with these people? Why do we have to spend more time on discussing about policy reform if there are still bills on the list? Do you know how many policy proposals are on the table now? I don't want to speak about them because you'll be very angry and not focusing on your work. So we need to make sure that the interest of Namibians is being prioritized instead of praising the investors, instead of focusing more on donation where you are a rich country. It's quite an embarrassment, but an action-oriented society is a society where project managers, where leaders, either it's political, business, civil society, faith-based, traditional leaders, they are practical on the ground. Because if you, and it's quite very funny, if you have a discussion about food security, for example, in Namibia, you have a discussion about food security, one sustainable food production, The catering service that is serving you, 80% of that food are not coming from Namibia. Just the catering service itself. If you have a discussion about, manufacturing, you know, the tables that you are sitting on, they are not even made from Namibia. The clothes that you are wearing on, they are not manufactured in Namibia. How are we going to be practical? And yesterday I was very happy when I have attended the symposium organized by BON on creative industry, and one of the leaders was wearing clothes made in Namibia, and this at least show one little step toward we do what needs to be done. Because if we must be practical. You can't go to an event speaking about food security, then 90% of the food that you are eating at that conference are made are coming outside, and you, we are not you are we are we are not seeing any problem. We can't speak about supporting local business or SME development. Why you don't even have a product from an SME within that conference center? Then there is something that we are not doing right. Then there's something that we are not doing right. Then the question that we need to ask ourselves is that, how should we develop an action-oriented society? Where it's not about publicity. It's about doing the job. Then the results show it. Because that's what we've been dealing with for quite some time now. So let's look at the caller and look at the conversation. Good morning, good morning.
Morning, David. How are you?
I'm good. How you say?
Fine.
Mm.
Yeah, let me start with the creative industry of the discussion of yesterday.
Mm.
Yeah, it's important. Because that creative industry is worrying even the political leadership.
Mm.
I remember, I think, 2-3 months ago, where serious things were really happening, which were devastating our society. And as a result of issues from creative industry. Because that thing is very broad. That industry is so broad, and it has got a lot of wind.
A lot of what? So,
a lot of wings. Speak a lot of area. A lot of
oh,
size.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So there are those who are in the music. There are those who are in the, for example, the art. You know, those ones, visual art. There are those in various sections.
Yeah.
In the industry.
Yeah.
But the pathetic situation is for those who are actually in the music, where we see that many a times the management, how to manage their talent, mm. how to develop them further, it's a questionable kind of situation. Because that's where we have got people who are really thriving. They are doing very well, passing the messages through, whether it's a political message or any other type of a messages that really entice and entertain people. But those people themselves there, we are just enjoying their music, we are enjoying their comics, you know, their comedians, more of those things. But what is really happening within themselves, within their industry there, is something that really requires some kind of intervention. Maybe it also requires some kind of innovation.
What do you mean? Because today we do not want committees. We want practicals. Like what?
Yeah, practically just to organize them and put them in the better situation.
Like how?
You see, you can also, not necessarily to, you can promote their music, you can organize their music, and then become a marketing manager for them, and also managing them, because many a times, they just play music, and then after 2, 3, 5 months, of course, no income generation that is coming through now,
yeah.
after the event has taken place,
yeah.
We have also heard that NASCOM and the many other institutions who are there to correct their, what's this they call it, when their music are being played in the jukebox there, they are just playing music there, and no income really coming out. Sometimes it's this, we just copy and play their music. When they are passing there, the standards and others are passing there, they are hearing their music coming in. But no loyalty.
Yeah. It's
really getting to them.
Mm-hmm.
So is that not something that require some kind of intervention in terms of managing those things? And also fastening the law to ensure that people are not just doing the... It's property, what is it, this intellectual property. People are stealing this kind of music. They are playing this kind of music without paying any other thing. And these musicians, they are languishing in poverty. And even when they play here, if you organize, you look at the Christian concert that is coming. And you can see the money that is being pumped in there. But when our local musician, for example, organize music here, event. So we pay little. Maybe they are also looking at our own financial situation, economic situation. But whenever people are coming from outside, you go to hundreds of dollars. So on our side, you pay $50 there, $100. And we don't also value our own product.
Yeah, because what I have observed is that when an international musician is coming to Namibia, there is no this thing of saying the money is going to come from tickets. The money is already there on the table. To say if you are asking 500,000, we have it on, or 600 is on the table. But you, who, you the many more, they call you many more because they say no, we have Dr. K, who? Mr. KG, we have Makazi, and many more. and you will get these extra coins from tickets if people pay. And it's not sustainable. And it's also demoralizing people with talent. That's why you find musicians are involving in very dangerous behaviors. Mm. And they are very frustrated when you speak to them. You see that they are very frustrated. And the question I was asking yesterday is also to say, man, if you speak about, for example, 50 million is not enough money, but it's understandable. But where is the progress in that? Where is the money? Where is the money in terms of that? Just 50 million.
Is it? You know, some of this money, you know, I don't know, because, you know, you remember when the Minister of Finance and Mr. Fuda came, and then that point of where we had that redemption for our loan.
Mm.
And I think some of that money was mobilized from private entities.
No. The money we speak about, the budget, there's an allocation of 50 million. I'm asking, where is it now? And maybe if you have information, you can also tell me to say, in terms of that 50 million allocated to assist those people, especially in the creative sector, where are they consulted? Are they on one point?
Don't they have organized structures also that represent? I know NASFA is there. I don't know whether there is another one where some always used to speak about. And if that man, if they were not consulted, or maybe they were just given, don't they have a established structure which can then be an entry way of consultation? Because if you are just scattered, you have not even organized yourself, and nobody is actually coming with an attempt to organize you and things like that, because it had to start with that. So if there are no established kind of structure or organization that can then get into the negotiation with them, and they are just cut out, you find them, those ones in the zoo park, you find those other ones in there.
Mm.
If there's nobody really coming, even if the money is there, even if you increase that budget and the money is there, then you might want to consult them. How do you do that?
The money is
there. I don't know.
The money is where?
Well, because you just mentioned the 50 million.
Yeah, in terms of structure, there are a lot of institution, because even the ministry itself, the ministry of when you speak about art and culture, that is part of it. It's the responsibility of the ministry. Have you seen a cultural officer within the Ministry of Education, and have you engaged that person and asked that person to say, what do you do in that ministry?
Their budget, I think one of my brother, who is a teacher, he was recently, a few days ago, telling me that when it comes to sport, which is also part of that, and culture, I mean, education and culture, now is now integrated into one. And there, you also find some kind of, some kind of misalignment. And some of this cultural aspect and all these things, since they do not have perhaps different kind of vote, and that's what my brother was saying. So if we do not have the specific vote for, let's say, for the money that goes to, let's say, culture, entertainment, you know, those creative industry, they don't have their own vote, specific vote, then that most of these areas might get lost. I can give you an example of like gender, you know. When you go to those ministries and all these other organizations, you say, okay, please, what about gender? They will just tell you, no, here we don't discriminate.
Mm-hmm.
We cut off men, boys, girls. But now, when those people, they have got different needs. So then now, the money that comes now to issues of culture might be deviated to other area. You understand? So I'm just, bringing that proposition, proposition, that sometimes things get mixed up and get lost within there.
The washing machine broke again.
Take control with Express Credit.
Get fast, reliable relief when you need it most. Borrow 3,000 to 32,000 Namibian dollars, repayable over 2 to 5 months. Apply for a quick cash loan. Easy application, same day approval. Visit www.expresscredit.com.na or SMS gift to 32274.
Democracy thrives through participation, and we all want a thriving democracy, don't we? Let's all contribute to a thriving democracy by being active participants and voting in the upcoming regional council and local authority elections on 26 November 2025. Let's play our part. Get involved. Put your voice in the box.
Yes, let's continue.
What I was saying is that there could also be money that is perhaps not budgeted for specifically. Even if it's there, it might be, I don't know how the votes work there, whether they have got this specific vote is for the culture and entertainment or whatever the name that they are using. But I also feel that there is a need for you people to seriously manage the talent and the potential for those people, and also perhaps through mobilization of the resources, because you are not, maybe that money, the one that you are saying, might not be enough, or if they are not consulted, maybe their voice was lacking there in order to really identify their really needs. But sometimes they can also mobilize for resources outside. So if there are minds, great minds who can also organize them, because I know of even the successful ones, when they write their messages after they are gone, maybe say committing suicide and things like that, because it's in that minute.
What do you mean? What are you saying again?
If you have heard, and many of those say musicians, when they commit suicide, they always leave those messages. And they are saying, you people, when you are dancing to our music and things like that, you think we are happy, we are peace, but this is what we don't have peace. Okay. Now you now wonder, but this is what we are rejoicing and dancing and all these kind of things. And this is exactly what has happened. So it also, in a way, we are also neglecting them. So we need to make sure that we manage them also.
Okay.
Just like the way we manage ourselves.
Yes. Thank you. Let's give opportunities to others.
Welcome.
All right. We are moving forward. And thank you for the contribution. And because in the creative sector, a comedian from Namibia, because when I put... my colleague Helmut with Trevor Noah on the scale, I don't see any difference. The difference is only the recognition and support. Because, nobody can become a comedian. People don't know about this thing. And, to person like Helmut is easier. We talk to him every day. It's easier because it's his area. He has done his research, put more effort. But when you are calling somebody from domestic and calling somebody from outside, why do we put that difference in terms of the quality of content and recognition? So that's why today we speak about an action-oriented society. How do we develop an action-oriented society? How do we speak less than we do more? I was reading somewhere yesterday where Namibia want to revive Air Namibia, but they changed the name to Namibia Air, which is quite a very good news. But are we doing this really based on calculation, or we are doing this just because of pride? We don't want people to laugh at us, or we are going to continue subsidizing? Because one of the reasons Air Namibia went down is that it was middle government more money. It was a non-profitable institution. Then the question is that, where are we moving? Are we moving to the right direction, or we are just touching on every project? If we have done good calculation, yes, because apart from being a national pride, was supposed to be a business which is bringing money to the government.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
It's fine.
Hmm.
Yes, it's my radio. It's not actually good, man. I don't know. I heard you talking about African church.
Yeah.
Appointed to the
International Court of Justice.
To the Hague.
Yeah.
And that is from Kenya.
Yeah.
The Westerners and William Luther himself will be delighted.
Yeah.
Because that is the that institution. The one thing that does not make me happy or to somehow to rejoice when an African is actually appointed there, that institution itself is biased, and it is exactly the reason why it was set up to be biased and to only judge African leaders or those that does not subdue to the systems or to the laws of the Westerners. Yeah, because if it wasn't biased, obviously, even Trump now, what he is doing in Venezuela, they could have indicted him already.
Yeah.
Because you cannot just start killing people, and you are saying that they are drug cartels or drug transports, but you've got no proof.
Is it?
You kill almost about 50 people.
Yeah, because you are right, because I'm still want to see somebody who was prosecuted from America, let me say from American.
Nobody, even the Westerner.
Even from the Europe, because I think it's only for the Middle East and Africa.
Yeah. And then also for the Philippines. One of the presidential, the Philippine president did that.
Mm.
And then they he's there now.
Mm.
Being judged. Mm-hmm. But what about Trump? So what about Netanyahu?
Mm.
You know, the Americans went out on their way to make sure that Netanyahu is not arrested. You see that?
Yeah, I see.
and you look at Ali al-Julai. The president of Syria now, who recently just went to...
I said they are good friends now.
They are very good friends, but he was a trolley. He's a second commander of Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
And now he's actually recognized that he is a president. The only country that recognizes that man is the United States of America. Any other countries in the world does not recognize his president.
You are in Syria?
Yeah,
but
because, you know, even because when he diverted, when he wasn't doing what they wanted him to do, they put a 10,000 reward that whoever knows where this guy is, come and report to us, we'll give you $10,000,000. Now he's removed because he's doing their job. And he went there and killed the Christians.
You know, when you are speaking about Ruto, do you know that at one point Uhuru Kenyatta and Ruto, they were also they survived international court cases. At one point, they were prosecuted also. And it was not to be the only president who survived that because the case was thrown away.
Ruto, as we speak now, Ruto, I think the over 500 paramilitaries or military itself of Kenya is in Haiti, suppressing the Haiti's fighting to actually get a piece of their own oil. that is actually being shipped out by the American companies and corporate.
Oh.
Yeah. That is the route.
Okay, and this thing of Africans fighting in Russia, is it planned or people just went there not knowing?
Fighting on the side with this war for Ukraine and Russia.
Yeah, they apparently they are mercenaries. Some of them apparently they were just thought come and work here, but they end up in a war zone with.
It's exactly the same way. Even the West, the Ukrainians are also doing that because it's actually being done. The British does that, the Germany does that, Poland does that, all those countries, they recruit missionaries to fight in the war in Ukraine. But now, most of the Africans, they sided the Russians, they went there, some of them, they actually, I heard they went through South Africa, that is what I heard. But it's a thick line, you might not know. Exactly how did it go there?
Okay.
But
okay.
I have heard of Africans, most Africans, they went on the side of Russia.
Something
for, yeah. Maybe because of the history or something like that, yeah.
Okay, now, what is your view on, because today I was speaking about conferences and also public discussions. Are we really doing something? How many, what is your view on that conversation? You said your radio is not working. My question is only that, how should we develop an action-oriented nation or an action-oriented society? Because I've seen even young people, either it's climate, either it's young parliamentarians, they focus more on public discussions. How do we move from there?
I'm trying to get you. You are saying, are you basing on geopolitics?
I'm basing on Namibia and development because, what I have seen in Namibia, conversation, as we must have a conversation, but why should leaders spend more time on explaining what they are going to do instead of doing it? Why should we have more public discussions and building of industries, for example? Because today I wanted that view to say, what can we do to cut the cost of a lot of conferences and a lot of town hall meetings? Then we go on the real issues like building of industries and houses.
Obviously, on that one,
yeah,
we now have. I think in order for us to do that, we can make use of. Social media, perhaps, maybe. But you're talking about in order for them to spread, the reason why they do that is to spread awareness of what they want to do most throughout the countries.
But why do we have to speak about NDP 6, what we are going to do if there is no 5% implementation yet, but we still have a meeting to say, no, I'm going to do this for you?
You know, for politicians, they have this belief that when they spoke about it, it's done already, even if there's no practical happening on the ground. You see, that is how most politicians are. Once he goes and say, look, you see here where we are standing here, we are going to put a depth of water here.
That is work done.
Then is the work done.
A report.
It's a report. You know, politicians have got two options.
Yeah.
Whereby they can just say, come here and say, okay, we are busy now doing this, and this is what we intend to do. Wherever you are going to see us, that means we are going to put something. But now we are used now. When politicians we are going to build 300,000 here. That means by speaking about it while he's there, exactly.
It's done.
It's already done like that.
But we are used now, and people, and it's becoming normal, even with the politics of campaigning and also politics of discussing issues. We are just used to say, let's discuss about the problem that we have, and then we go home.
That is the thing. That's why some of us choose not to go to rallies.
Because
I will stand up and say, look, last year we were here.
Hold on.
Care that builds with you. That's the rollover benefit from NHB. When you claim less than a defined amount of your day-to-day benefits in a year, the unused amount is carried over for the next year, like a savings account for your health. You can use your rollover benefit in many ways, from co-payments to medical costs usually not covered, even contribution holidays. Learn more at nhb.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHB, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHB, we're about you.
Yes.
You see, like when it comes to the late president.
Yeah.
I can clearly remember what he has promised. From 211 houses countrywide.
20,000.
Zero.
Okay.
Food security, zero. Inclusivity, zero.
Yeah.
You see, all those things. I remember.
But when you are doing, for example, we are ever waiting because we are ever waiting to say maybe it's 5 of 100. How do you rate the intention and the results of is it 9 years of administration?
Come again?
How do you rate the intention of the previous administration and the outcome? Like what they have stated, what they have planned, for example, Harambe Prosperity Plan 1 and 2. If you have to scale it between, one and ten,
Harambe Prosperity 1 and 2, they all has been, you see, the first one was launched in the parliament. Secondly, the second one was launched. And then when the second one was launched on his second term, I could clearly remember that Venani, President Venani of PDM, was asking, why are you launching Harambe Prosperity 2 while you don't give us a successful report of Harambe 2? You see? That means there was nothing. And then jumping from Harambe Prosperity to green hydrogen, being made a flagship of the economical objections goal, then my question comes, look, you launch Harambe 2 and then Harambe 1 and then Harambe 2, and then when you launch those two, there were nothing about green hydrogen. How can you go and, you know, one of the callers was saying, people goes and inherit policies of economical and they don't understand anything about it. Even the one that they set up themselves, they nothing. You see, I would want to meet higher rated A team, the think tank of the previous of the late president, to ask them, what have you done, you people, apart from getting your salary? What have you done for this country?
We are advising.
Advising what?
Because you know, they're very difficult. I think what somebody who is very closer to power is to make sure that your advice must not be a pointing out of a fault of another person, because they are very careful also. I think it's a very good observation also, because I remember who was the main economic advisor is Dr. Stateland, eh?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he was known to be the man behind Harambe Prosperity Plan and all these things. I think the intention was good, but the implementation, because you have a plan, then you have the funding, then you have the now between the plan and the funding, you have the implementer and the results. Now
the Harambe Prosperity Plan. When it's come to this clause of public partnership, it has exactly removed the responsibilities of the government itself to serve the nations of which they were voted for. They give this whole responsibility on the shoulders of the private sectors. Now, the private sectors, they can save, but their main aim is actually driven. Their main driven thing is profit. What they want is profit. You see, it will not succeed. As a businessman, I have to go to the bank and borrow money. I have to pay that money back with interest. And obviously, whatever I'm going to make use of that money, I must make sure that I've got a profit enough for me and also for the interest of the bank. You see,
yeah.
Like in terms of land servicing and housing building.
Yeah, now, maybe in 2 minutes, let us look at, because there is always a way, because we have spoke about, you know, challenges and, lack of implementation. Maybe what do you think need to be done new? Because at the end of the day, it's our Namibia to say, we have now this plan. What do we think need to be done new to make sure that we don't repeat the same trick, doing the same mistake? And move forward, particularly with we already have plans, we have already risk diagnosis, we have everything now on the table. What do we need to do new?
What I'm actually thinking, what I would advise people, if I was, just go back to the policies that Sam Nyoma's used to use, because we can clearly mention location that was found under that under Sam Nyoma's cabinet.
Yeah.
Companies were reformed.
Yeah.
They were very good companies.
Yeah.
That each and every Namibian wanted to work for.
Mm.
Towns were proclaimed. You don't proclaim your country, I mean your towns, if your economy is weak, because you must know that the central bank is responsible to fund those small towns.
Mm-hmm.
You see.
Mm.
It is the government, the central bank, that needs to support even the city of Windhoek. If they draw up their budget,
yeah,
and then they have got a deficit, maybe they want 1 billion or 2 billion in order for them to make sure that they have achieved what they wanted to do through their budget, they will have to go back to the government and say, we need this money in order for us to save the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And the government make use of the money of a taxpayers and monies that are actually taken from the natural resources and so on. You see? So I think if we can go back to that,
yeah,
whereby city of Windhoek does not, you know, because now even this the authorities now, how do we call them? The towns.
Yeah, yeah. Look,
they are now in business. They were not supposed to make business, building house and sell houses.
They're supposed to develop, yeah.
They only supposed to service the land.
Mm-hmm.
With the money that they get from their rate and taxes, utility services, and also the money that they get from the government. And then the other sectors take it from there. That's why we also have a national housing enterprise here. If we can go back to that.
It will work.
It will work.
Okay, thank you. Let us not stop advising. It's always good to get 1 or 2 points, but thank you for input.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. We have around 6 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. And, you know, the very important thing about a conversation is that you and me, we are not going anywhere. This is our country. What is going to define our future is what we do now. How are you advising? Are you able to point out a problem? And also come up with an advice, because what I also respect about our conversation and also those who give input is that the criticism is there, but there's also an alternative to say, have you looked at this aspect? Could it be that this is the way that it's going to work? Could it be that, you know, when you have an event on discussion about creative industry, you don't only speak about it, but you work it. You wear creative industry. You use things from a creative industry. You make sure that the service that you are using is from a creative industry. When you speak about, for example, food security, you don't need to bring a lot of machines for people to do agro-processing. When you have a discussion on food security, make sure that food that is being served there is coming from locals, for example. When you speak about manufacturing, show the people and do the talk. One of the things that made the late president of Tanzania popular, although he was known as having an iron fist, John Pombe Magufuli, what he was known to be, is a bulldozer, because he started a project, then he stand there. He was known as a bulldozer, because if things become difficult, when he come from the State House of Tanzania, go to that project, it has to be completed. Look at the structures. During Pombe Magufuli, there were no ghost project or white elephant projects. Money were being calculated to see where, how, at what level, because he was very good with the monitoring and evaluation. That's why things started moving at that aspect. Unfortunately, you cannot. Unfortunately. Or fortunately, life do not turn out the way people always, plan or seems to expect. And we see that now the development in Tanzania is that I think that the president now is trying to bring the conciliation, and so trying to speak and have dialogue with other opposition parties, especially after a violent post-elections time. Which in this juncture is quite good, because having a divided nation and shooting each other and fighting in the street is not what we need, because we need to focus on a lot of things, but to complete what we have started. So, dear listeners, make sure that you engage in today's The Villager newspaper, that is of the 14th of November. If you look on top of The Villager newspaper, you'll be able to see the front page there. The Special Economic Zones Uncertainty Looms Over Diamond Sector. It's a conversation on the diamond industry. And that is our front page. Look and engage in the reading. And the page 3, be able to see January 2026 intake application for Valvica University. And there are a lot of beautiful courses there. Let us go to school. Let us go to university. Let us go and study so that we can build our country, because no external person who can come and build Namibia, because it's only us. Go and look at the page 3. You'll be able to see postgraduate in higher education. Go and do research on postgraduate in higher education, in diploma in higher education, and make sure that you reform our education to be not only education of qualification, but education of practical results. Project management, postgraduate in project management, level 8. We don't need white elephant projects. We need expert in project management. If you are given something to do, complete it at a given time and report back on time, and also respect contract given, particularly, especially when it's coming to social developmental project. And any other project, this diploma in business administration, there is no better degree than a degree in business, or, you know, when you speak about a business degree, it required everywhere. That's why there's always business aspect in every qualification. Monitoring and evaluation, it's a need, is what we are lacking. It has been stated in African peer review mechanisms. It has been stated in Namibian reports on development. We need expert in monitoring and evaluation. There's masters in higher education. Postgraduate Diploma in Occupational Health and Safety, Masters of Project Management, Masters of Monitoring and Evaluation, Masters of Occupational Health Safety, and MBA. And that is when you are at page 4, page 3 of the Villager newspaper. At page 4, Ohangwena Second Water Supply Project cost $250 million. And we've been speaking about water in Ohangwena. If you want to look at that, there's an article by Loise Shimi there. And you can be able to go deep and also get the context. Then I can also look at, consultancy review update on an assessment on Namibia policy on human rights, torture and prevention. And that is as a consultant needed. That is at page 5 of the Villager newspaper, especially looking at the Office of Ombudsman. Then you also have the article on scaling of micro enterprises in crucial scaling micro enterprises crucial for the Namibian economy. Then that is an article by HD, and you can be able to look at that aspect. University of Namibia also have newly transformed programs. Go and check. Quite beautiful courses too. Speak about agronomy, speak about agribusiness, speak about horticulture, speak about agriculture economics, speak about master's degree and doctors of philosophy from food science, horticulture, and also fisheries and oceanic science. Let only our ocean not be controlled by few, but you also need to be expert in that sector. A lot of courses at the University of Namibia. You pick what you can do, pick what it can contribute to our national development. There is also masters in climate science and many other qualifications there. Degrees in petroleum geoscience and many others. So get time and engage into that. There is also City of Windhoek approved scale of RF340 to NFA for 2.96, and that has to do with sport and also industries of sport. There's an article on area entrepreneurship exposure, which is area entrepreneurship exposure by Dwight Leakes. That's why make sure. There's also an article on Rudu Hospital received 8.5 million equipment boost. That is when it comes to promotion of health. And yeah, look at, there's a lot of things, advertisement. There is, YouSave. And also there's an article on, IUM alumni. But, let me leave you in the good hands of, the Big Mic to unpack, the day. And, we are into the zone of the Big Mic. But, for me, David Shombe, bye bye. See you around. And enjoy your weekend.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Shombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.